Moikka! Welcome to Mastering Finland. This podcast shares stories of foreigners in Finland and provides practical tips and learning opportunities for all. Go ahead, join our community and enjoy listening to this episode. For more information, check our website masteringfinland.com.
Hyvää päivät kaikille! Tervetuloa! Tämä on Mastering Finland podcasti ja minä olen isäntänne Matt Bowen. Tämän päivän jaksossa keskustelemme. Just kidding. April Fools. Just thought I would get you with that. On to the actual episode now. Please enjoy. Hey everyone, I'm your host Matthew Bowen, and you tuned into another exciting episode of Mastering Finland. We hope you're having a wonderful day. Today we have two fantastic guests on the show, Annabelle Battersby and Dr. Hattie Francis Enholm. Annabelle is an Australian clinical psychologist based in Helsinki, and she provides clinical psychology services in English. Holding a master's degree in clinical psychology from the University of Melbourne, and she's well-versed in various therapeutic approaches. Hattie has a clinical doctorate and is a licensed psychologist with extensive training and experience. She's originally from the UK and has been practicing in Finland for over a decade in both English and Swedish. She employs an integrative and evidence-based approach to address a wide range of mental health issues. Both are licensed to practice in Finland and in their respective home countries. Welcome to the podcast, ladies. We're thrilled to have you here today.
Great. Thank you. We're thrilled to be here.
Thank you, Matthew. It's good to be here too.
We've been kind of putting this together for months and months and months, but we finally managed to find some time, and I'm glad. So I want to start off, and you know, you guys can take turns on how you want to answer the questions, but we'll start off with how you ended up here in Finland.
How we ended up in Finland. Do you want to go first, Annabelle?
Well,
men.
Yeah. Yeah. The typical reason I ended up in Finland because of love. I think in both our cases, we were just hanging out in our home countries and the respective Finnish partners came to visit our home countries. So, you know, definitely from my perspective, living in Finland or a life in Finland was not on the horizon for me at all.
Definitely not. No. Yeah. So I met my Finn back in on Millennium Eve. He was at a house party of mine when I was a student. And yeah, he whisked me away to this Nordic land. Yeah.
It's also magical.
It's also, yeah, that's what you think. I remember flying to Finland for the first time in January 2000, and it did look magical. I looked down from the plane, and it was snowing, and all the fir trees, it looked beautiful. Yeah, and so in some ways it is very magical.
Yeah, I remember the first trip here for me was a few years later. It was in 2005 was my first trip ever to Finland, and it was in May, June, and I remember, you know, waking up from jet lag at 3 or 4 a.m. and it was light outside and thinking, what is this bizarre place?
Yeah. All the lights, yeah.
Like yeah. Twilight for most of the night. I mean, it never really got dark. It felt like another kind of otherworldly aspect to it, I would say.
Yeah, that's right. It is otherworldly.
And it never gets any easier getting used to. You know, you have to adapt to that every single year, when it's light all day or when it's dark all day.
Yeah, it's true. I think I'm used to the light now, but I still find November a struggle.
It's weird when you go to sleep and when you wake up, it looks the same outside. You know, there's two times of the year where, you know, it kind of messes with your head.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you know, I've lived in Finland for 10 years now, and I still am not used to the loss of that kind of daily sunrise, sunset routine. You know, I really miss that profoundly. Like, I remember, you know, growing up in Australia that, you know, when you wake up in the morning and it's, you know, 6:30 or 7 a.m. and the sun is just rising and coming through and you have breakfast as the sun is rising. And, you know, in summer, that's a really nice time of day because it's not so hot yet and it's really pretty and very cool. And then, you know, seeing sunsets every evening. My hometown is Canberra in Australia, and we have lots of nature and a lake and mountain ranges, and we have just the most amazing, beautiful orange, pink, red sunsets. Mm. And seeing those kind of every evening when you come home from work or whatever, I really, really profoundly miss that living here.
Mm. I've always really appreciated, you know, natural beauty. And whenever I travel, especially, I'm always the one who's like noticing, hey, today, look at those clouds. Like, look how fluffy they are. They're like not the way that they normally are where, you know, we're from or something like that. Or I'll point out those kinds of things. And I try to give myself the ability to do that, because it's not so easy when you're so busy in your life. You know, you don't have the yeah. real free mm-hmm. opportunity to go in and do that. And I think that for the most part, in Finland, you can go out into nature and appreciate it, but there's a lot of things that
True.
That Finland has that other places don't have, and vice versa. So if you're coming mm-hmm. from somewhere where you're very used to a certain thing, then you know you might have to be missing that. And
yeah,
I think that's very true of Finland. Really, wherever you go in Finland, nature is very close at hand.
Yeah.
Even in Helsinki, it's always there. It's always available.
Yeah, and that's very good for people's well-being, I think.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah. Really, really important. And you see that the Finns prioritize it themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they've got the clothes for every weather. They're always out there.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I had a conversation with my cousin when I was visiting back in the States, and we were kind of talking about the clothes that that my son wears versus what his daughter's wearing. And I was like, oh, well, in Finland, you know, it's all about layering. You know, there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad. You're dressing poorly.
Bad clothes.
And then with the stuff, there's like so much of this like polyester stuff that in America everybody has. So if you're going to go outside for an extended period of time, you probably don't, you know, it's not a typical thing to just go out in the snow and play. Whereas like here, Edvin goes to daycare and he's out, you know, every single day. He has a snowsuit and everything else. And it's just like, this is what you do. You don't say, hey, it's too cold out, I'm not going outside. But the American in me is that way.
Yeah, I've got better at it, being outside and forcing myself, especially at this time of year, to get out and, you know, put the right clothes on. And having a dog definitely helps, because it makes you have to take a dog out for a walk.
Mm. Whereas I live in an apartment and there's no reason to leave. But I've learned from Finnish friends here that there's this kind of like unspoken rule that you have to leave the house at least once a day for your sanity and fresh air. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if it's like winter weekend or holidays or something and you don't feel like leaving, you know, there's the kind of old time Finns who've lived in apartments in the city for a long time have this rule that you have to get out at least once a day. I don't know. Sometimes it's just to take the rubbish out, which is a bit sad.
Yeah.
But it is a pretty hard climate, to be fair. Yeah.
That's a good rule, though.
Getting outside. And I think getting the kids outside as well is so important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they mind it less than us, I think.
Mm. And I think, you know, some of these things about like coping with the climate and dealing with it are really unknown to the foreigners who arrive. Like, I come from Australia. I have no idea how to live in this climate, but I'm really fortunate. I've got lots of Finnish friends who kind of give me bits of advice like this.
Mm.
But I know that I've got lots of clients who, for whatever reason, you know, they're studying or they're working online, they won't leave the house for days and days and days at a time during winter.
Yeah.
And they don't know about these rules. They don't have kind of an inbuilt sense of how can I cope and live with the climate. It can be really hard for people from other places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any other things that really surprised you about Finland when you moved, or Finnish people even?
I think I was quite surprised by the silence and the quietness of Finnish people. You know, having a Brit, and I'm quite an extrovert Brit as well, coming from London, I did find it, I guess, at first quite disorientating and sometimes uncomfortable as well, that sort of tendency towards silence. And I think sometimes it can be seen as rudeness, but it's not actually rudeness at all. I think Finns are, they want to give you space, and that's their way of respecting you.
When you come from this kind of English language culture, you know, in my culture, as soon as there's silence, it means something has gone wrong. And so people feel the silence. And, you know, growing up in it, you don't realize that sometimes people fill the silence with, you know, nonsense, rubbish. They're just talking about whatever.
Yes, I'm very guilty of this myself.
And then... But when I first encountered that, you know, I went on a road trip with my Finnish partner and his whole family, and I was in the car, and I had never been on a road trip where there was silence before, you know, for hours and hours at a time. And I found it really confronting, and I had to sit with that silence and think about my own feelings. And eventually I got used to it. And the funny thing is that when I finally got to my clinical training as a therapist, it was an extremely useful skill.
Yes, it's very true.
Very, very useful to be able to sit with silence. Mm,
it's very true.
I can't imagine being in a like long road trip and being silent, or mostly silent the whole time. Because for me, it would be like, first of all, if I was by myself, I would have music blaring and I'd be talking to myself. And just like thinking out loud. Yeah, even if I'm by myself, I'll be talking out loud, like thinking out loud. But yeah, if I was in like a car with people, like unless I was going to sleep the whole time, I would have to have some kind of conversation, I think. I mean, I could do it for a while probably, just like thinking. But
I think a lot of migrants here find that hard. And I think a lot of people that we work with find it hard. But there's... if you can step into it a little bit, there can be some real benefits of silence.
Yeah.
And it can be really good for your mental health, because it gives time for reflection. Yeah. And also time to see things from that outside perspective as well. I think now there's sort of two parts of me, really. There's that Finnish part that can be silent, but there's still that very British part. And as soon as I've had a couple of glasses of wine as well, I'm totally like, my bullshy British self. But I was in London a couple of weekends ago, and I really, I found London really difficult, actually. It's so full on. And then I realized, gosh, there's a big part of me that's very Finnish these days.
Mm, yeah. That kind of craves a bit of peace.
Yes.
And quiet. Yeah, I think from my perspective, trying to understand Finland and the culture, you know, I suppose as a surprise, is cultures can usually value different things. And so I guess a big difference is that, like, my culture values people being entertaining and funny when you meet them, right? Like thinking of a car trip, you know, if you're going to give someone a drive for a few hours, in my culture it's kind of, you know, you have to turn into a storyteller and make it an interesting time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a value in Finland at all. But what they do value is people's peace. Like they value that highly. And that's why you're not meant to disturb other people unnecessarily. But it's also the reason why, you know, we're left in peace. You know, people very rarely harass you, if ever. And you can feel very at peace. And, you know, I know a lot of clients who'd had a kind of traumatic background or lots of social anxiety or something in their home countries, when they've moved to Finland, they've had a real sense of relief and a sense of peace here.
Yeah.
But going on from that, what you're saying about confrontation, I think there's also this thing with Finns that there are a lot of unwritten societal rules that you don't know about. When you come to Finland. And I have noticed that Finns can be quite forthright if you break one of the rules, and then they can confront you.
Yeah.
And that's for I think for us we come from these very big societies where these rules get broken all the time.
Yeah.
We just like, it's about survival in the US and Australia and the UK. Just get on with it. And if you need to get across the road quickly, you jaywalk.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. But in Finland, it's, you have those unwritten rules, like we all stick to the rules, because then we create a safe society. Yeah. And I think at first that can be quite confronting, and Finns can be quite confronting, like, no, you've broken the rule.
Mm.
You know, you can't do that. You're like, what does it matter? Mm. But after a while you realize, okay, I can understand why that matters to you. Or for instance, with the dog, I've noticed that people can be quite, you know, you can't let your dog pee there. And I'm like, what? It's a bush. It's fine. But it's that sort of those unwritten rules that you don't know about until you're in that context. And Finns like their rules, because that's what leads to peace in their society.
But they're all silent and invisible to foreigners. Yes. So, for example, you know, the jaywalking rule, I didn't realize until many years later, it's because small children, you know, 7-year-olds walk alone on the streets in Finland. That's very unusual in the world. And the reason that adults are not meant to walk against the red light is because children would copy what the adults are doing, and then they would get run over. Mm. So it's about modeling behavior at every single moment. So, you know, I've adjusted now, and if there's no children in sight, I'll still cross. But if there's a child there, I'll think, okay, I've got to follow the rule, so the child sees that I'm following the rule, and then they won't get run over.
Yeah.
And you have, but I think it's pretty incredible, you know, how many rules are unwritten and how little is spoken. You know, it's just by growing up in the society and culture and going through the education system, you've learned all of these by the time you're an adult. And there's often real comprehension from Finns at how little, you know, a foreign adult might know.
Yeah.
Like we've, like, for example, I set up a mothers group for foreign mothers of newborn babies about 6 years ago. And every 3 months we have a new group of mums with some babies come in, and, you know, talking to Finnish people and telling them, you know, why it's really important to help these mums adjust to life in Finland with a baby. You know, they've said, oh, you know, why? What do you tell them? And I say, oh, well, for example, I have to explain that they can travel for free in Helsinki on public transport with a baby and a pram. On all transport, you can travel for free. You don't have to pay for a ticket. Mm. And the Finns are like, but everyone knows that. And I have to explain, no. If you have arrived here a month before you gave birth, why would you know that?
And I think in a way, perhaps it's easier for foreigners who have, you know, who have Finnish families, that we've got these Finnish husbands or partners, that somehow we hear about these unwritten rules. But if you're here for a job or work or studying, you might not find out about these unwritten rules.
Yeah, there's not always a proper orientation that people receive that's, you know, these are all the rules. So, well, and I discovered a lot of resources that are very valuable, and I had lived here for years before even knowing anything about them. So it's definitely what happens. I think in general, because of like that value of peace and not disturbing, Finns will be very helpful, but you have to know to ask them.
Yeah.
That's one of the things when you move to a new place, a lot of people have a hurdle to get over to be like, oh, I'm going to go talk to a stranger and ask questions. And so that creates that whole thing where a lot of people come to Finland and they don't have the ability to very easily go and ask for help or to go and just start up conversations to meet new people in general. And when you're in a place like Finland, you will find people who do have that kind of personality that go above and beyond to try to grab people and bring them into things, invite them and stuff, but it's not the norm. So the average person is not going to be that way. So that whole initial part of moving into a place like Finland is a lot of things don't fall into place so easily to make everybody feel so, so welcome, because it's just not being done so proactively. Yeah. It's definitely a way to find your home here. But may require more work than you expected.
Yeah, there's that you have to sort of slide into it slowly and, you know, have your ears open, have your eyes open, ask questions, observe what's going on. why is this so different to what I yeah. know? But I think it can easily, that can easily turn into sort of anger and frustration as yeah. well for many, many migrants, I think. So we see a lot of that here, don't we, Annabelle?
Yeah, yeah. And I was just thinking, you know, obviously things became a lot more stressful in recent years when COVID happened, because a lot of migrants coped by just going home, right? I mean, if you were from the UK and you wanted to see your friends and family, you just hopped on a plane and went there. And people go back home to see, obviously, family and friends and socialize in a way that's easy. But we also see a lot of people going home for basic services like getting a haircut or visiting the dentist or going to the doctor because they sometimes don't know how to do it in Finland, or it's too hard, or they don't trust the system here, or they've had a bad experience, or it's expensive.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's this really kind of interesting sense, you know, there's a word for it. It's called like mastery over your environment.
Yeah.
So it's a psychological concept where when you grow up in one culture as an adult, you get really good mastery over your environment. So, you know, if somebody says, let's throw a party, you can immediately say, well, I know where to get the ice, I know where to get the food, I know where to get the cheap alcohol, yes. I know where to book a venue. I've got it all sorted, because you've learned that you've got mastery over your own environment in your own country. And then you move to somewhere else and you lose yeah. that. Mm. And as an adult, it can be a real strong sense of loss. And it can really impact your competence, your mm-hmm. sense of confidence, what you can do. And it can take many years to build that back up.
That sounds like a similar kind of thing as to what happens with the language, because, you know, you have pretty good mastery of your native language. And then when you move to another country and you're trying to learn, you're now dealing with other people who are so way ahead of you because it's their language. But now you're struggling to do the simplest things that you're so used to being able to do in your own language, but now you can't. So I think that has like kind of a parallel yeah. feeling to it, it seems.
Yeah. And I guess mastery of another language also takes years and years.
Absolutely.
And years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, if you come to Finland, there's things set up to try to help you with all of these things, but they aren't necessarily going to be handed right to you. You have to kind of know where to go, know who to ask. And then, you know, that's just the beginning of that journey to get onto that. So it's something I don't know how many people really have a good understanding of what they're kind of getting themselves into. And this applies really not just coming to Finland, but anywhere that you would move. It's, you know, you're putting yourself very much out of your comfort zone, even if you don't realize it. And I know it probably should be obvious, but
exactly.
You will have a wake-up call at some point, whether it's right away or not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're talking about resources available to help people when they arrive. And, you know, I can confidently say I feel there was absolutely nothing for me when I first arrived in Finland in 2006.
Me neither.
Like zero. There were no integration courses. There weren't any free language courses. I can't think of a single service that was there for me at all. And in fact, my first 2 years in Finland were so incredibly difficult that I left. You know, it was a really hard time. I was basically like many, many spouses who arrive and think that they can kind of cope with a difficult new situation. I couldn't get a job. I couldn't advance my studies. You know, I feel like overall I aged 10 years in those 2 years. It was a real wake-up call from my, you know, middle-class suburban lifestyle in Australia, where everything had been pretty easy in life and handed to me right. on a plate. You know, I'd always been able to get any job I wanted.
Yeah. I found it hard too, but I think, and Annabelle and I talk about this very often, that that I integrated in very much into the Swedish-speaking community. And in a lot of ways, I think if I compare my experience to other people, I think it made it a lot easier for me. So I first came here just sort of as a tester. We knew we were going to go back to the UK so I could do my clinical training. But I got offered a job in a Swedish after-school club when I couldn't even speak any Swedish. And they were like, yeah, no, you'll learn it, no problem. problem. And the Swedish speaking community is very small, and everyone was very welcoming and very excited that there was this woman who wanted to learn Swedish and very open to it. So I think in that way, it's really interesting. We always think about that. I was a little bit protected in a way because I decide, well, my husband's Swedish speaking. So, and his family were all very much like, well, yeah, learn Swedish, integrate into this. The Finnish will come later. Mm. And it kind of protected me in a way. It's quite interesting.
It's very true that the story that everyone has is individual, you know? Some people are going to have a completely different experience than someone else. And that's the whole reason why really this podcast exists, is so that we can bring people on to share their stories, because we hear the stories of people who have had some terrible things happen to them and have had things where they overcame a great challenge. We have things where it's like a great, like almost out of a movie romance story. We've heard things where people turned a negative into a positive, or where things seemed like they were going really well and then they went really terribly and then hopefully they picked back up again. You know, it's something, there's, you know, everybody's got like a whole different experience and, you know, it's not the same.
Yeah.
But at the same time, being able to share those allows people to be more aware and prepared and understand what they can do to get themselves like a little bit more adjusted to things and find, you know, find what they need for themselves. So that's really good. And I know, I believe you guys have stories of the trials and tribulations that you've heard from patients that you could, you know, share if you wanted, and some statistics as well. And I'll give you the opportunity to do that. But I think that's, I don't think anybody has it super easy. Some people have it easier than others, though. And for the people who have it really hard, they're not alone. And there are a lot of people out there who are trying to help them. And it's just trying to get them connected is really the big goal. So,
yeah, connection is, I think you're right. That's the sort of the key for everything, really. Yeah. If you can find connection anywhere, then you're already sort of moving towards integration. And it doesn't, you know, language, all those things aren't so important. It's finding moments of belonging and moments of connection, and then starting to slowly but surely learn what's going on, so that you don't feel like you're, I think I felt really deaf and blind. Like I felt like my senses, I didn't have my senses when I first got here. And I, you know, I literally, my now husband just had to lead me through everything. I didn't know what was going on. And now it's been very interesting in our relationship too, because over time he's sort of let me become more and more independent. And now I realize, wow, I don't need him for anything anymore. I can even go to the tax website and know what's going on. Amazing. Yeah.
My situation was the opposite. I had one of those like sink and try not to drown kind of experiences. But it's quite funny because, you know, I think it, in a sense, like I was a good candidate for that. So in my background, in my personal life, I used to do these like really extreme endurance events and rock climbing and canyoning and caving.
Yeah.
And,
like, very, very resilient.
So I have a lot of resilience to like really harsh circumstances and challenges, and, you know, to be very honest, I love a challenge, would say. So I think, you know, my now husband kind of knew that, but nonetheless, this kind of being dropped into Finland and this kind of like sink or swim mentality was very, very, very hard. And I think that's why the first years have been really hard. And now when I look at my situation, having now set up a business, for example, started a company, you know, employing myself, done lots of volunteer and charity work, all kinds of things. Part of it is because I had to kind of go through the difficult part at the beginning. For example, I had to do my Finnish Uki language test after only living for 2.5 years in Finland, which is really soon.
Yeah.
And that was necessary so that I could get registered as a psychologist, because at that time in 2015, when I did the test, everyone who didn't live in the EU had to do the exam, but people who were from the EU didn't have to do the test to be able to become registered psychologists.
So I got away with that one. Not to say that it's an easy process.
But you did it. You did it later, though.
I've done it. Yeah, I've done the UKI test now to become a citizen because of Brexit. Yeah. That was a big moment, I think, for me. And then another big moment was sort of I lived here for a couple of years in the early noughties without kids, and then came back here in 2010 to live permanently with kids. And that was a completely different experience as well. Being just having to fend for myself and then having to fend for myself and my children as well. I kind of thought, oh, I know Finland, it will be fine. But actually it was harder than I thought it would be. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think also one of the difficulties that we've faced is that because our relationships are with men, we haven't had a competent Finnish woman in our life. And we've noticed that Finnish women are just so often highly competent, organize everything, organize families' lives. And, I had this kind of sense that I could kind of get away with not speaking Finnish, but I've actually realized that because, I'm in the playground or having kids over to the house and organizing social events, and it kind of tends to fall on women to do this, that I've had to learn Finnish for that reason. Yes. I've had to become competent for that reason. And I think it's really interesting to see that the gender difference in that. Like I see that very often, like Australian men, for example, who arrive to Finland, their lived experience here is completely different.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah. I've been, again, lucky that I've got a wonderful mother-in-law and sister-in-laws who've sort of shown me what to do.
Mm.
And this is how you dress your child. Mm. And, don't worry about this, do this. And I guess it's, Finnish men don't really kind of, they just don't think about everything that you have to face out there with your kids. And so that I think that was a bigger learning curve for me, actually, coming back with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it was an inspiration for starting the mothers group, for example, where we do talk about really basic things like catching the bus or the pram and what to dress your kids in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like an essential thing. So it's really great that you created that group. And how can people join that group if they're interested?
If they know that they're going to have a baby, in like 6 or 8 months' time, for example, they can email us at the company email address info@compasspsychology.fi, and then we notify them when the registration is open for the group. The groups are 4 times a year. Yeah.
And then we have a website, a Facebook site as well.
Okay.
Just for mothers as well. What's it called?
New Mothers Group.
We've got quite a large following on that, and we'll always tell people on that Facebook site and as well as the company's Facebook site when we're going to have a new mothers group when to start signing up. And it's just, I think, because Annabelle started it 6 years ago, it's well known now. It's well known in amongst the sort of the community. People know that it's
one mum who came said that she'd had 3 separate people recommend it to her. And she hadn't planned on joining because, to be fair, I think a lot of women, they're not so interested in that mother-baby stage. Some women are and really are keen on it, and some women are slightly reluctant, for various reasons. And she, this particular mum had thought, oh, why would I want to go and talk to other women about being a mum? Like, this doesn't make sense. I don't have anything in common with them. But it turns out, you know, you do. It's such a life-changing event. And all of the women have in common with them that their families are not in Finland. Yeah. So they're all foreign women and they all kind of need support more than average. And a lot of the groups are still in touch, you know, 4 or 5 years later. And they've all said that meeting the other mums was the most valuable thing that happened. Yeah. But there is a whole other podcast about this on another podcasting that you can listen to me talk about that for an hour and a half.
An hour and a half?
On Mothering in Finland, the podcast.
I have the link for that, so I'll put that in the description. And doing things a little out of order, this is essentially a get to know you guys episode, but because you have Compass Psychology as a company that has a lot of great services, we're going to have a whole separate episode so that you can talk in great detail about that.
Yeah.
We're going to invite you back a little bit later, you know, a few months or something.
Great.
And we'll do that. But I want to give you guys an opportunity to sort of give a little brief description of Compass Psychology and services, like an elevator pitch kind of thing.
Okay, an elevator pitch for Compass Psychology.
An elevator.
Well, we're basically setting up a service that is, you know, by migrants for migrants, really. And it's obviously it's not a charity or an association. It is like a private business. But we are registered psychologists and health professionals. And, you know, while we're doing this to make money, it's basically salaries for us and our subcontractors. And we put in a huge amount of effort to make sure it's the most clinical high standards. So we have weekly training for all the psychologists here. We get together. We talk about new techniques and methods.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has various types of supervision. We have a premises here that is really nice and comfortable. We want to make the experience for every single client as positive as possible.
Right in the center of Helsinki. Mm. You know, we really treat our clients. We make people feel special because a lot of people are struggling when they get to us, and not just because of their mental health, but they've been struggling with Finland, or so, you know, they come here and we really want to make people feel safe and welcome and that they're special.
Mm.
Yeah.
And at the moment we have services in 6 different languages. So we have English, Swedish, Finnish, German, Dutch and Spanish.
Okay, excellent.
And I think there's a lot of research about how important it is to in mental health services in general, that there's a diversity of professionals to meet the diversity of clients.
Yeah.
And in Finland, there's a, you know, ever increasing cultural and ethnic diversity of clients, and we one of the only practices here in Finland that serve that niche. And one thing that we can't offer at the moment is Keller subsidized psychotherapy, but we're working on that.
Mm.
So I'm training now so that I can become officially a Keller recognized psychotherapist. And we've got other things up, thinking about other ways that we can increase the amount of psychotherapists that we have as well.
Okay, yeah, great. We've been doing, I have been doing volunteer work for 5 years. With an association called Psychological Practitioners Finland, which is a group of foreign educated psychologists and psychotherapists and counsellors like us. And we kind of support each other on this issue. And I guess, like, you know, like many foreigners feel when they arrive to any country, I suppose, and Finland is no exception, you can feel kind of marginalised if your qualifications aren't recognised and you can't do the profession that you were doing in your home country. And it's quite problematic in Finland because they have a system for psychotherapy, which is a very odd registration system where to become a psychotherapist, it's not just a matter of going to university for 3 years. No, that would be fine.
Yeah.
It's a completely different profession,
right,
which is, number one, you have to pay for it. It costs 20 to 30,000 euro. Number two, you have to have had a job already for 2 years. Number three, you have to already have a healthcare qualification. Number four, you have to go through an interview process. And number five, it takes 3.5 to 4 years to do it
part-time.
And you
have to get 80 hours of your own therapy while doing it.
Okay. And so basically no foreign educated professionals fit the criteria that they have in Finland. And that wouldn't be such a problem. We wouldn't really care, except the government has decided that the criteria for getting, you know, subsidy from the health system or from even insurance companies in Finland is that you have this qualification. So it automatically straight away means that people who want to see us in English or you know, German or whatever, they cannot see us and get a subsidy in the way that a Finnish-speaking person can see a Finnish psychotherapist here and get a Kela reimbursement or payment from the HUS or health service or even insurance from a Finnish insurance company.
So in our own countries, Annabelle and I would be totally qualified to see to do psychotherapy with public health clients, but we're not here. So we can only do our therapy privately.
Okay.
And in PPF, we're sort of thinking about, you know, how we can get more people, more foreigners who have psychotherapy training, how we can get their qualifications recognised.
Yeah.
And we're even thinking about planning, part of the process is that we're trying to set up a psychotherapy training in English, because obviously accessing psychotherapy training in Finland, you have to speak, at the moment, you have to speak fluent Finnish or fluent Swedish. So it's a big ask.
Okay. Well, that's great. And I'm looking forward to being able to talk more about that for the next episode. What's the best way for people to contact you? You have your email addresses and go to the website at Compass Psychology.
So it's Hattie at Compass Psychology or Annabelle at compasspsychology.fi. And then we have an info at Compass Psychology. And you can follow us on Facebook, Compass Psychology Finland. And we're also on Instagram, Compass Psychology. Yeah.
Excellent.
So, yeah. And we also have a newsletter. So you can sign up for our newsletter on our website.
Okay, excellent. Thank you guys for coming on, and we'll have you back pretty shortly. Talk some more.
We look forward to that.
It's been great to chat. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you very much. Moikka.
Moikka. Heido.
Hey.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye!